after he failed to return from an attempt to reach the summit Sunday. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, having a little bit of fun here in the studio because Jim's out today, so there's no cameraman with me here in the studio. So I come in, now I'm in my shorts here today and a short sleeve shirt and don't have to wear the dress shirt and stuff like that, because, you know, when we do the big television production and all that type of thing. But beyond that, Tony also in the morning, Tony Beam, who does the Christian Worldview Today broadcast in the morning, sits in this big conference chair, you know, this big old cushy thing. And the only problem with it is, and this is part of the reason why he sits in it, is it's much lower to the floor. And so your feet are actually on the floor as opposed to some of the studio chairs that we use that are much higher. And they sit up to a desk that is much higher here in the studio. You're not able to have your feet on the floor. And I guess part of having your feet on the floor is not having your feet on the floor in those studio chairs is bothering Tony's back. And so he sits in this big old comfortable conference room chair. So I'm in that right now as well. I'm hoping I can stay awake for most of the broadcast today. It's a bit too comfortable here. Maybe I'll take a shot of this and then post it out on the Facebook page or something today. So I got that going on here in the studio. And let me give you a couple other things that are taking place, more program notes related to the radio broadcast. I got word the other day that Reformation 21 and specifically Carl Truman from Ref 21 had actually made reference on one of his posts to a interview that I did with the guys, the authors who wrote the book Spiritual Warfare. And so if you want to read some of the comments, very brief comments out on Ref 21, but Carl Truman was recommending to his readers that they should go out there and listen to that interview that I did with Rob Ventura and with Brian Borgman on the issue of spiritual warfare. And so I recommend you do that as well. I thought it was those guys did an excellent job in that study, in that book. It's not been released yet. It actually won't be released until 2014. I think in January is when it's going to come out. But if you want a little bit of a sneak preview beforehand, you can go out there and listen to that interview. And then just this morning, I got another reference where the interview was referenced again. Let me put it that way. And this one is from the Confessing Baptist. And out there again, it says Rob Ventura and Brian Borgman interview about the forthcoming book on spiritual warfare. And this is from the Knowing the Truth radio program. So again, another site out there. We have the Presbyterians covered under Ref 21, and now the Baptists are covered under the Confessing Baptists. And I don't know if I shared the other day on the radio program, but the some of the response from last month's broadcast, we had 5,000 downloads, actually 5,200 plus downloads of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, and it was from all 50 states and 90 different countries around the world. And so, praise the Lord, the broadcast is getting a very good listening audience around the world, and some of the reason is because of the interviews like this with these great authors who have done a really good job of writing about specific subjects. A couple of the highlights, some of the most popular broadcasts from last month include Paul Washer in his interview that I did with him about the subject of repentance and true conversion, and then this one on spiritual warfare, and then also Kevin Swanson's interview that I did with him about his book entitled Apostate. That was a very good interview, even though the audio was poor because he was at a church camp and we were trying to do it via cell phone. You know, he's trying to get himself into a good position there up on top of a hill at the church camp and so forth. It went bad a little bit, you know, towards halfway through the interview. But I'll tell you what, the content of it was so good, it was worth putting yourself through listening to the poor audio. And that one is available. That book is already out. It was really a historical interview about these infamous apostates down through the ages. And he did a very good job of putting that together. And so the interview that we did with him, he recounts that. That's why those types of interviews get such a high volume of interest out on the webpage. So just a little snapshot on a couple of things that were taking place. On today's broadcast, we're going to talk about another important issue. We're going to talk about the issue of evolution versus God. Now, that's the title of a brand new 38-minute web-released audio-visual, a trailer and a piece that is done, a documentary that is done out on the livingwaters.com. Living Waters, I think, was formerly called The Way of the Master, or maybe The Way of the Master is a part of their ministries. But it's the ministry of Ray Comfort, and then also Kurt Cameron is involved in a lot of the work that he does out there as well. But out on their webpage, just the other day, they released the full video, audio and video, of their Evolution versus God documentary that they did. It's really good. Ray Comfort goes out on the street, and he talks to two different groups of people. And since you won't be able to see the video, I'm going to give you the webpage so that you can go out there and download and see it for yourself. It's absolutely free. And I'm going to give you their webpage for you to be able to do that. But since you won't be able to see it, I'm going to try to fill in just here in the beginning of listening to this, just the audio version of it. I'm going to try to fill in some of the blanks there. First of all, the entire documentary seems to be built around a statement that is made by Richard Dawkins. The statement that is made by Richard Dawkins is flashed on the screen. They don't read it, but I think he does quote it somewhere during the documentary as well. But the statement said this, quote, "Faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence," unquote. Again, that's by Richard Dawkins. So here's Richard Dawkins. You know, he's attacking the concept of faith. What Ray Comfort has done then in this documentary, Evolution versus God, is he basically shows that really what many of these atheists, aggressive atheists and agnostics, and many of their followers as well, what they have done is they need a much greater amount of faith to believe what they're putting forth. If you hold that faith is just the idea of believing in something that is unseen, that you have to have just a belief. Now, I think that there's a true biblical definition of faith that would differ from what is being put forth here, but the way Dawkins is using faith is, you know, that you just have to, you know, take their word for it and believe in the unseen and so forth. And the way he is defining it is what Ray Comfort then uses against him in this documentary. It's a little bit humorous as well, because when you hear the response of some of the people that are interviewed are actually well-known atheists and agnostics themselves. People like the first one that we're here from is P.Z. Myers. Well, P.Z. Myers is he does a lot of debates against creationists and intelligent design experts and folks like this. And so, you know, a couple of these folks that are there are actually, you know, they teach this. They write books about this subject. And yet, great comfort in pushing them for actual examples brings them to the point where it's a little humorous that they are unable to give any sufficient examples of what they're talking about. Second group that is interviewed, it sounds like he's just going out on the street and just talking to some young people. But what you won't be able to see, because you're just going to have the audio here, is that these are actually students that are in areas related they should know better. In other words, one of them is studying to be a geologist, and another one is studying to be a physicist, and these types of things. So they're actually students in related fields that should be able to answer these questions much more coherently than they do and with much greater evidence, but they're unable to do so. In fact, ridiculously unable to do so. One final point. They try to say, well, the evidence for all of this is Darwin's finches. Now, Darwin's finches is actually an example of not evolution, but of adaptation. And so adaptation shows that the finch beaks get a little bit larger, a little bit shorter, depending on the amount of rainfall. It's not an example of evolution at all. And yet you'll hear many of these people refer to the finches. That's what they're talking about. And it is an inadequate explanation for evolution, to say the least. It only shows adaptation, which we believe in. And so with that, let's go ahead and listen to some of the audio here today. And then I'll break in at the bottom of the hour. We'll play the second half on the second half of the program today.
You're an atheist?
I am definitely an atheist, yes.
Now, why are you an atheist?
Why am I an atheist? Because there is no God.
Atheism assumes that you can disprove the existence of a God. Agnostic is a more correct term, but I'm an atheist.
Are you an atheist?
Yeah.
I am an atheist, yeah.
I am, yes.
I am.
So you're not an atheist?
No.
So you're leaning that way because of evolution?
Yeah. I don't believe in there's a guy in the sky that lives in the sky.
You believe in evolution?
Of course I do, yes.
Live science says of Darwinian evolution, it can turn dinosaurs into birds, apes into humans, and amphibious mammals into whales.
What Darwin showed in his work on evolution and natural selection is that we don't need to invoke any supernatural force or power to account for the development of life through time on Earth.
The ongoing processes that are observable in today's world.
You think it's a belief?
I think it's just fact.
I think more like fact.
There is too much evidence to ignore.
Do you think it's a belief?
No, it's science.
It's the way it happened.
It's logical.
You know, all the scientists pretty much agree with it.
It's more of a fact.
When did you start to believe?
When I started to think for myself.
When did you start believing?
When I took my first biology class.
It all started to make a lot of sense. The teacher made it very, very easy to understand.
I generally trust the scientific community.
It makes more sense than any religion or anything.
The fossils they found of all the cavemen, the Homo sapiens, dinosaurs, it shows clear evidence.
I believe in science.
What's your major here at this university?
Biology.
Your biology major?
Yeah.
You believe in evolution?
Yes.
What's your major?
Geology.
Chemistry?
Biochemistry.
Environmental science and policy.
I'm a physicist.
Biochemistry.
Hey, do you believe in evolution?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in evolution?
Yes, I do.
Of course.
Yes, I do.
I do believe in evolution.
You believe in evolution?
Yes.
Are you a strong believer?
Yes.
Are you a strong believer?
Yep. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A scientific method is based on the collection of data through observation and experimentation. Science Daily.
Could you give me some observable evidence that evolution is true? Something I don't have to receive by faith.
Yeah.
Some observable evidence.
I mean, take a look at what happened 65 million years ago.
Hang on, I can't. That's 65 million years ago.
I believe, millions of years.
So that can't be observed.
We can trace the evolution through the fossil record.
Could you be specific? Just give me one.
Between 6 and 7 million years ago.
Hundreds of thousands to millions of years?
So it's quite a long time.
Yes.
Millions of years.
Yes.
So it can't be observed.
Evolution is not testable over time.
We are condemned to live only for a few decades, and that's too slow, too small a time scale to see evolution going on. Richard Dawkins. We see nothing of these slow changes in progress until the hand of time has marked the lapse of ages. Charles Darwin.
You've got the canine kind, the coyote, and the domestic dog, and there's the feline kind, which is the cat, the tiger, and the kitten, and you've got humankind. So Darwin said there'd be a change of kinds over many years, so could you give me one example of observable evidence of a change of kinds?
So for instance, the fossil record shows the common ancestors of all carnivores, that cats and dogs were once linked, once united by a common ancestor.
How long ago?
This, I believe, was like 60 million years ago.
I don't want something I have to accept by faith. I want it to be observable.
Observable evidence. Well, I mean, if you're just asking me here on the street, there's not really much I can tell you in terms of observable evidence. Like, we would have to really examine existing data to draw conclusions of our own.
I would have to have faith, then.
We would have to have some amount of faith.
Can you think of any observable evidence for Darwinian evolution where he said there'd be a change of kinds?
Monkey to man, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, a change of kinds.
I don't really believe there's any proof for that yet.
Well, monkeys are the only ones with a fifth digit like we have.
Koalas have a fifth digit. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Think we're evolved from koalas?
No.
When I went to, like, Washington, D.C., I saw they had a whole exhibit just on the...
In the Smithsonian?
Yeah, in the Smithsonian.
Oh, wait, so that is just like some stuffed dummies, like standing around a fire.
I know that everyone talks about the missing link for humans and whatnot. I believe that there are connections that are out there that we haven't found yet.
I'm going to trust what those experts did. Those experts came up with.
I have a strong trust in evolutionary ideas based on the evidence presented.
Can you think of any observable evidence for Darwinian evolution, a change of kinds?
I haven't seen it myself, but I believe what the textbooks tell me about it, so...
You've got faith in the expert?
I have faith in the experts, yeah. I guess similar to how religious people have faith that God actually exists, I have faith in the experts knowing what they're talking about.
The scientific method must be observable and repeatable. So could you give me one piece of observable evidence for Darwinian evolution?
Okay, I would point to, as one great example, is look at the genetics of the stickleback.
What's that?
So stickleback fish are a very interesting collection of species that were recently isolated after the end of the Ice Age.
What did they become?
They're various species of sticklebacks.
They stayed as fish?
Well, of course.
Can you think of any observable evidence where there was a change of kinds?
Fish.
Human beings are still fish.
Human beings are fish?
Why, yes, of course they are.
How long did that take?
A couple billions of years, millions.
A couple of millions? How is that observable?
It's not.
We came out of the ground as a mammal, and one mammal created...
Come out of the ground? Didn't you come out of the sea?
Huh? Well, initially in the beginning, we came out of the ground and the sea. After the great destruction of the...
So do we have lungs or gills when we came out of the sea?
You want to know something? Those that were in the sea, I guess, had gills, and those that were on land had lungs.
But if we came out of the sea, we had gills in the sea.
You want to know something? Who knows that we came out of the sea or we evolved from mammals?
So you don't know?
Huh? Of course I don't know.
I'm accepting that they did their science correctly.
You give me an example of Darwinian evolution, not adaptation or speciation, but a change of kinds.
These are changes of kinds.
Still fish.
They're distinctly different fish.
We have thousands of examples.
Can you give me one?
I can give you thousands. Just
one.
For instance, I would say look at Lenski's experiments with bacteria then.
So what do the bacteria become?
The bacteria are still bacteria, of course.
That's not Darwinian evolution. That's not a change of kinds, is it?
It is a change. It is a change in the genetic makeup of the bacteria, which is
still bacteria. So what do the bacteria become?
A new kind of bacterium.
Still bacteria, there's no change of kinds. To summarize, the observable evidence that you give me for Darwinian evolution is bacteria becoming bacteria.
No, it is bacteria acquiring new metabolic capabilities.
You said before that there is lots of evidence for evolution. I just want one observable evidence for Darwinian evolution, no, just one.
But I gave you some. You don't want
that. Not some. I want one.
Wait, you don't want that.
I want one. Yes, I do. I'm pleading with you.
You asked me to tell you when I've watched one species evolve into another. Isn't that right?
No, one kind into another. There's 14. Is it 14 different definitions of species? So I want a change of a kind.
When you're talking about kinds or change in families, you're actually talking about macroevolution. You're talking about changes on the level that separate, say, cats from dogs.
Did you give me any examples of Darwinian evolution?
Well, when you say examples of that, then you have to sort of look it over a longer time frame.
It has nothing to do with faith. Faith is something that I have to, unseen, I have to believe in.
That's it, unseen. Look, do you believe evolution?
Of course I do.
Are you a believer in evolution?
Yes, I am.
When did you start to believe evolution?
I started to believe evolution when I started to think out for myself.
Is evolution a belief?
Well, you know something? Evolution is a thought process. It's coming to terms and checking out all the alternatives. Like taking a look at the religion, man-made religions.
Let me ask you again, is evolution a belief?
No, evolution is, well, yeah, in a word, yeah, I could say it could be a belief.
When you say change of kind, you mean the evolution of one species from another or to another. Yes, we have that in action, actually, in the Galapagos.
Could you give me one instance?
Yes, we have an example from a group of birds called Darwin's finches.
You take a look at the difference between the finches on the islands that all started out. I mean, that's very, very observed.
But that's not Darwinian evolution. There's been no change of kinds. What do the finches become?
They become genetically new and anatomically new, recognizably different species.
So they're still finches?
Well, of course they're still finches, yeah.
There's no change of kind.
Little birds that he had observed that...
What did they become?
Their beaks, their beak shapes.
They're still birds.
Yes. Three finches that turn into different types of birds.
They're still finches.
Well, for example, Darwin and his study on evolution of the birds on the island that he went on to there.
Their beaks changed?
Their beaks.
They're still birds. There's no change of kinds. That's within the kind.
Evolution on the beaks.
So that's called adaptation. It's not Darwinian evolution. There's no change of kinds. There's no different animal involved. I want something that shows me Darwin's belief in a change of kinds is scientific. Darwin spoke of a change of kind. Can you think of any observable evidence for Darwinian evolution where there's a change of kind?
Change of kind. I'm gonna have to think about that one a little longer.
You give me anything that I can see, observe, and test, which is a scientific method for Darwinian evolution, a change of kind.
Test and observe.
Could you give me observable evidence, which is a scientific method for Darwinian evolution, a change of kinds?
So you want the evidence of it?
I would say...
I cannot, I think. It's a hard question, actually.
Okay, there you have it. That's the first part of the audio that we are playing from the newly released documentary that was put out by Living Waters Ministry. Their website is www.livingwaters.com. That's livingwaters.com. We'll play the rest of this when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Roland was saved at age 50. 51, he was called to serve, and by 52, Roland was delivering clean water to needy people in Central America and Africa. Hey, let's be challenged by a story of simple faith and obedience when we talk with Roland Bergeron, founder and CEO of Water of Light, this Friday at 11:30 on Christian Talk 660, 92.9 FM on Peace Talk. Your place to find hope, get help, discover peace.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul. Last year, we launched Ligonier Connect, an online learning experience designed to let you study the Word of God with trustworthy scholars and theologians by watching video lectures, posting answers to questions, and interacting with classmates. Today, I'm pleased to announce we've added several new courses from the Ligonier Teaching Fellows, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Stephen Lawson, and R.C. Sproul, Jr. Probably the most popular enhancement is the new option for unlimited access for only $9 a month. This gives you access to every course. That's over 40 courses in biblical studies, theology, Christian living, and more. I hope that Ligonier Connect will be an encouragement as you study the Word of God and learn of His holiness. Why don't you give it a try? To learn more or to subscribe today, visit Ligonier.org/connect or call 800-435-4343.
Ever feel like there has to be a better way to manage your finances? Focus on the Family is proud to partner with Crown Money Life Coaching, the only award-winning online solution that effectively implements envelope budgeting for today's cashless world and provides you with a personal coach. And now you can get your first coaching session free of charge. That's right, it's completely free. Call Crown Money Life Coaching at 800-215-3147 to get started. Join thousands who are achieving financial success. That's 800-215-3147.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We've been playing the audio of a newly released documentary that was produced by Living Water Ministries. This has been highly anticipated. The trailer's been out for some time, but it was just released the other day on Living Waters Ministries' website. Their website is www.livingwaters.com. You can go out there to watch the entire documentary for free. We're going to go ahead now and play the second half on the program here today, and then I'll come back at the end of it, the close of the broadcast, to make a couple final comments. Here we go. We'll pick up the second half of the documentary.
So, can you repeat the question again? Could you give me any observable evidence, just one, for Darwinian evolution?
Let me think about that for a sec.
Observable evidence, something where we don't have to exercise faith. Something that can be observed, like the scientific process, observable.
That's a good question. That one I'm not quite sure.
So you can't think of any observable evidence for evolution?
No.
How do you know it's true?
I'm not sure.
So Darwinian evolution is not observable. It's not scientific.
I guess so.
So it's unscientific. You can't prove it.
It's scientific, actually. You could prove it. It could be proven. Just
do it for me.
That's hard. That's just too broad of a...
Unobservable. That's why you need millions of years.
Yes, exactly.
You're trusting the biology majors and the biology professors know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And they can't even give me they can't even give me evidence of a change of kinds.
Well, then there isn't one. If they don't give it, then I wouldn't say there was.
Yeah. I just go on what I've seen and what I've learned from class.
So you believe?
Yeah.
You know what that's called?
What?
Blind faith.
Blind faith.
Faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Richard Dawkins.
Do you believe in intelligent design?
Of course not.
Do you think everything is intelligently designed?
No, I don't believe that things are intelligently designed.
Okay, you seem like an intelligent person, so I'm going to ask you something. I'd like you to make me a rose, okay? How would you make a rose?
I don't have the capabilities to do that.
Hang on. No, it's not intelligently designed, so you should better whip me up a rose real quick. Do you believe a rose is intelligently designed?
Definitely not.
In order for me to know what to make, I have to know what a rose is.
Well, it's got a seed, so you've got to start with nothing, and you've got to create a seed from nothing.
Oh.
Can you do that?
No, I can't.
could you make a rose from nothing?
No.
Can't make something from nothing. It's just basic, you know, science.
A rose from nothing?
A rose.
Just like, I can't, honestly.
Why not?
Me, I have no supernatural abilities.
All the geniuses in the world can't make a grain of sand from nothing. We don't know where to start.
I can't.
Why not?
I don't have millions, billions of years.
That would be physically impossible. I mean, I would have to... That's not possible.
So how could you say everything's not intelligently designed? Where does that leave you on the scale of intelligence? If you say everything's not intelligently designed and you can't even make a rose.
Why do you think there's no one teaching intelligent design at UCLA?
Because they're not allowed to.
We can teach anything we want.
There's a reason intelligent design isn't taught in our learning institutions. According to physicist Victor Stenger, the legal staff of Freedom From Religion Foundation, a church-state watchdog group, has had remarkable success in convincing many institutions, such as school boards and town councils, that they are breaking constitutional law when they sponsor sectarian activities. That includes intelligent design. When the authorities can't be convinced, Freedom From Religion Foundation sues, and it wins more often than not.
There was nothing in the beginning, big explosion of nothing, it became something, and then it came into a rose, and giraffes, and horses, and cows.
I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm just saying I don't know what happened. That's what scientists have theorized has happened, and...
You believe them?
To a point.
So you've got faith.
That is true, yeah.
Could you give me a definition of vestigials? How's that back up
evolution? Vestigial is, it's like, I'm not a biologist, so I'm kind of fuzzy here, but it's like a remaining organ that is not used, like for instance our appendix. Rabbits have huge appendix for digestion of grass. We still have a vestigial appendix organ.
The appendix has no use?
Which we can think of right now.
Your coccyx bone, that was, you know, many people regard that as the tail of the humans.
The human tailbone is said to be vestigial. That is, it's an evolutionary leftover proving that we're related to primates. However, it's not a tailbone, it's the coccyx vertebrae. The tailbone derived its name because some people believe it's a leftover part from human evolution, though the notion that the tailbone serves no purpose is wrong. The coccyx is an extremely important source of attachment for tendons, ligaments, and muscles. Evolutionists also claim that the appendix is vestigial, but it's not. The appendix is actually part of the human immune system. According to Scientific American, for years, the appendix was credited with very little physiological function. We now know, however, that the appendix serves an important role in the fetus and in young adults. Among adult humans, the appendix is now thought to be involved primarily in the immune functions.
I would consider myself an atheist.
Can you think of any famous atheists?
I believe Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson said, "I can't agree to the claims by atheists that I'm one of that community." Can you name a few?
Famous atheists. Apparently not.
Start with Isaac Newton.
Isaac Newton said, "The most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being."
Can you think of any famous atheists?
Yeah. No.
A famous atheist.
Yeah, a famous atheist.
Yeah, my dad.
He's not famous. Skeptics' websites often include examples of famous atheists in an attempt to win converts. But more often than not, the famous personalities cited are not actually atheists. This is a popular atheist poster on which are Ernest Hemingway, Abraham Lincoln, Carl Sagan, Mark Twain, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Albert Einstein, and Charles Darwin, along with the words, "Atheism, good enough for these idiots." Clearly, atheism is for intellectuals. But one moment. Abraham Lincoln wasn't an atheist. He said, "I know that the Lord is always on the side of the right, but it's my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side." Neither was Carl Sagan. He clearly stated, "I am an agnostic." Mark Twain hated religion, but he certainly wasn't an atheist, saying, "None of us can be as great as God, but any of us can be as good." Benjamin Franklin said, "God governs in the affairs of men." You'll find Thomas Edison listed on Celebrity Atheists, on Positive Atheism, and other atheist websites, but he wasn't an atheist. He said, There is a great directing head of people and things, a supreme being who looks after the destinies of the world. Thomas Jefferson said, "Say nothing of my religion. It is known to myself and my God alone." Albert Einstein rejected the Bible as the word of God and said that the Creator was unknowable and that God, being personal, was childlike. He lamented, "In view of such harmony in the cosmos, which I, with my limited human understanding, am able to recognize, there are yet people who say there is no God. Well, what really makes me angry is that they quote me to support such views." He categorically said, "I am not an atheist." And when referring to those who deny the Creator, he used the term fanatical atheists. Charles Darwin said, "I have never been an atheist." So out of the 8 famous men on the poster, there is only one who was an atheist, Ernest Hemingway. According to his biographer, back in 1961, Hemingway, quote, "pushed 2 shells into the 12-gauge Boss shotgun, put the end of the barrel into his mouth, pulled the trigger, and blew out his brains." There's your poster boy when it comes to atheism. Keep in mind that even though some of these men claim to believe in God, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're believers in the one true Creator revealed in the Scriptures, or that they're genuine Christians. However, when atheists use theists or agnostics to promote their godless agenda, they're being dishonest. Then again, coming from those who claim that morality is relative to each person, convenient dishonesty should not be a surprise. Do you believe in moral absolutes?
No, I do not.
Is rape wrong?
Rape is wrong in our culture, yes. And it is
rape always wrong?
It depends on your beginnings. If you say that you have a respect for other human beings, then yes, rape is always wrong.
So there are moral absolutes. Is rape absolutely wrong?
In my opinion, it is.
Who makes the rules?
We do.
So if Hitler made the rules and he had the majority...
If Hitler made the rules, yes, we would be living in a society that Hitler would consider moral, but which I would not consider moral.
Did Hitler put into practice survival of the fittest?
No.
What was he doing then?
He was murdering people.
That's survival of the fittest.
That's survival of the fittest.
It is. It's the lion eating the antelope.
No, there's much more to evolution than just this kind of crude kill and be killed model that you have in your head.
I have seen a quote from Richard Dawkins saying, "Evolution in its rawest is incredibly cruel."
It is. Yes.
Was Hitler putting evolution into practice?
That does not mean it was moral. Nobody
it was immoral.
Nobody's claiming that evolution is a moral process. Evolution is a very harsh and cruel process.
Do you believe in evolution?
Yes, I do.
You have a dog?
Yes.
Love your dog?
I do love my dog. Yes, I do. I love animals.
Okay. Well, your pet dog and your rotten neighbor are drowning. You can only save one of them. Who would you save?
That is a tough one.
You only save one?
Why are you hesitating?
Oh, I think I would save my dog.
I don't know why I'm really hesitating. Because, I don't know, I feel like people would see me as a bad person if I said the dog.
I'll save my dog.
So, is your neighbor not worth saving?
Well, he's not worth saving more than my dog is.
I'd go with the dog.
I mean, you would want to save the animal, so I would want to save my dog.
Well, we're animals. I believe we're all equal. I don't think humans have, like, a higher, like, place.
So, you think dogs are more valuable than human beings? Do you believe in evolution?
Yes, I do.
So, it's just a matter of survival of the fittest. Your neighbor's a primate, and you've got a canine, and you like the canine more than you like the primate. Would that be right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, survival of the fittest. I mean,
survival of the fittest?
Yeah, pretty much.
You said you believe in evolution.
Hmm?
So it's just a matter of survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
If he drowns, he drowns. Big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is true.
Are you an atheist?
Yeah.
Any fetus is less human than an adult pig. Richard Dawkins.
You don't think God exists?
More like I know.
Are you comfortable talking about spiritual things?
I don't know much about them, because they're not really capable of knowledge.
Once we're dead, we stop that. We stop.
How do you know?
Because it's just what the facts are. Like, when if you stopped breathing right now, you'd be considered dead.
Jake, if you were a car and your motor got turned off, that'd be right. That's inanimate. But you're a living, biological human being with a life of God in you.
We are a mechanical being because we have different parts that...
Is there no life in you?
Yes, there's life in me.
That's your soul. Okay, can you handle some questions? They're pretty pointed questions.
Sure.
Are you a good person? Are you going to make it to heaven?
I would like to think so.
Do I think I'm a good person?
Yeah. Are you a good person, morally?
Yes, I am.
Do you think you're a good person?
Yes.
I like to believe so, yeah.
How many lies have you told in your whole life?
I wouldn't be able to count.
I don't know if I can remember.
Can you be honest with me?
Yeah.
How many lies do you think you've told in your whole life?
Oh, quite a few.
Countless.
Uncountable.
What would you call me if I told lots of lies? Countless lies. You'd call me a liar, wouldn't you?
Harsh.
What do you call someone who's told thousands of lies?
A liar.
So what are you?
I'm a liar.
You ever stolen something in your whole life, even if it's small?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever taken something belonging to someone else?
Of course.
Sure.
Yes, I have.
It's called theft. So what are you?
A liar and a thief. I'm a liar and a thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Oh, every day.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Oh, all the time.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
It's probably so.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yep.
I have indeed.
It's called blasphemy. It's very serious to use God's name as a cuss word.
I don't believe in blaspheming since I don't believe in God. So if you don't believe in God, how can you blaspheme?
Well, if I don't believe in certain laws and still violate them, ignorance of the law is no excuse. So we're still guilty even though we deny a law exists or we even don't know about it. One to go, and I appreciate your honesty, Jacob. Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Why, yes, I look at many women with lust in my heart.
Of course. Have you ever looked at a guy with lust?
With lust?
Lust.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Not recently.
I have indeed.
Are you having sex outside of marriage?
No, not yet.
Are you looking at pornography?
Yeah.
Are you lusting after women?
Of course.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Absolutely.
So Peter, by your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And that's only four of the Ten Commandments. What I'm saying to you is just not believing in hell doesn't make it go away. A judge must see that justice is done if he's a good judge, and it's the same with God. If we die in our sins, God will give us justice. The Bible says no thief, no liar, no fornicator, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit the kingdom of God. So, Julia, if you died in your sins and God gave you justice because he's holy and perfect morally, you'd end up in hell, and I'd hate that to happen to you. Man, would you sell one of your eyes for $1 million?
Probably not, no.
Both for $100 million?
No, I value seeing too much.
So see how precious your eyes are to you, how much more precious is your life, and you're saying, I don't care if I get damned from all that which is good. Of course you care. You've got a will to live. Now, let me tell you something you know intuitively. You know that creation is proof of the Creator. God's given you that light.
Proof of the Creator.
Yes, we do.
We don't, actually.
I have an inside story. I have a whistleblower, and it tells me that you know God exists, and the reason you choose evolution is because it gets rid of moral accountability. Evolution...
It does not get rid of moral accountability.
It does. It means your primal instincts, lust and pornography and fornication, adultery, all just primal instincts. That's all. You're just an animal. The Bible demands moral accountability and says those things are wrong, and that's why it's not acceptable to you. That's why you're not seeking after truth. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong.
I say that you know intuitively that creation is proof of the Creator. God has given you that inner light. So when you look at the genius of God's creative hand, you know he exists because of creation. You are a unique human being, made in the image of God with a sense of justice and truth and righteousness. God gave you a conscience. It's inherent. It's shaped by society, but it's inherent. You know right from wrong. You've violated his law, and I don't want you to end up in hell. James, if you put your finger on it and see if we can, your struggle at the moment is because of your love of sin, because of the pleasure that sin gives you, and you don't want to give it up. You're like a man with a money belt filled with gold who's just fallen into the ocean. And I'm saying, if you don't get rid of that belt, it weighs 80 pounds, it's going to take you under. It doesn't matter how much pleasure it gives you, it's not worth losing your life for. Gail, you're not a beast. You are a human being created by God in his image with dignity and worth and purpose. And do you know what God did for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Any idea?
Mm-mm. No.
Well, God became a human being 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth, and he suffered and died on a cross, taking the punishment for the sin of the world. You and I violated God's law, and Jesus paid our fine. That means God can legally dismiss our case because of the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Savior. God can say you're out of here because someone paid your fine. And then what God can now do is clothe us in the righteousness of Christ. So on Judgment Day, you're saved from God's wrath and his justice because of the death and resurrection of the Savior. If you repent and trust in him, God will give you a righteous standing in his eyes. He'll wash away your sins in an instant. He'll grant you the gift of everlasting life. His last words on the cross were, "It is finished." In In other words, the debt has been paid. He came to take our punishment upon himself. So because our fine was paid by another, God can legally dismiss your case.
It's very hard to believe that someone would be willing to pay off the debts that's not his own. As in,
yeah, the Bible says God is love,
yeah.
You know, and he's kind and generous and merciful, and in his great kindness, he became a human being and suffered for us. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
When are you going to die?
I have no idea.
Well, God knows exactly the moment of your death. And it could be tonight, could be tomorrow. I'm not using scare tactics. This is just straight reality. 150,000 people every 24 hours die. And they're all making plans for next week, no doubt. So please think about this. Do you have a Bible at home?
No.
I'm not talking about a religion that says you've got to strive to get to heaven. I'm telling you, the Bible says heaven is a free gift of God. You cannot earn everlasting life. Doesn't matter how religious you are, how good you are. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death. This is how the Bible puts it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. So eternal life is a free gift of God, and it comes because of God's mercy, not because of anything we do. Make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yes.
I've been reading the Bible every day for more than 40 years. There's no mistakes in it, Mike. Any mistakes that we think are our mistakes. And you can trust God's word. I mean, think of how you trust professors and science books that tell you you're a primate. You trust and believe that. So how much more should you trust a God who cannot lie? Let me show you how fallible we are. Spell the word shop.
Shop?
Shop.
S-H-O-P.
What do you do when you come to a green light?
Stop.
Green light.
Huck.
So we're all fallible. We make mistakes. So imagine if you're making a mistake when you say this whole of creation came together because some explosion of nothing that produced everything, seasons, the birds, the trees, the flowers, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the marvels of the human body. So are you going to think about this?
Oh, yeah, no, I think about this quite a lot, believe me. My brother, like I said, he's a hardcore Christian. He's going to Yale Divinity School right now, so he talks to me about this all the time.
So you've got to think seriously about this. Life is full of decisions. Soften your heart. Don't have so much blind faith in what science tells you. It's left you without any knowledge of what was in the beginning anyway. You haven't got a clue where you come from. You don't know what you're doing here on Earth, and you don't know what happens after you die. Peter, could you be wrong about God's existence?
Yes. And could you be wrong about God's existence?
No.
Well, then I think you're rather close-minded.
Well, if I say to you, could you be wrong about your wife's existence? You'd say, no, I know her. You'd say, don't be ridiculous. I know her and love her. And I know the Lord and I love the Lord. And he transformed my life 41 years ago, instantly, overnight. Forgave my sins and gave me new desires when I had no desires or thoughts of God for the whole 22 years before I was a Christian. Mike, thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. No problem. Thank you.
One more thing, because you're a very intelligent man. Spell the word shop.
Shop? Like S-H-O-P? S-H-O-P?
What do you do when you come to a green light?
You stop.
Green light.
Hmm?
Green light.
Oh. Very good.
Here you go. Peter, you've been a good sport. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Okay. I generally don't engage creationists because it's not good for my blood pressure.
So you're going to think about this?
Mm-hmm. I think about it a lot, actually. Like I think about death and how fragile life is and how just in a second it could all be over and there'd be nothing.
You know, the problem with those who are unable to see evolution, I think, is they don't have imaginations.
Anatomical clues to human evolution from fish.
Human beings are still fish.
Human ears evolved from ancient fish gills.
We came out of the ground as a mammal.
Heavier dinosaur arms led evolution to birds.
Do you think we're related to pigs? Do you think we've got a common ancestor in pigs?
Yes.
Proof that fearsome T-Rex evolved into a chicken.
You think you're a primate?
Yes, I am.
Are you a talking primate?
I am.
Are you a cousin of bananas?
Why, yes.
When whales walked the land.
I'm accepting that they did their science correctly.
I generally trust the scientific community.
I'm going to trust what those experts did. Those experts came up with.
Darwinian evolution rests on faith. And once again, according to Richard Dawkins, faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Darwinian evolution requires great faith. The knowledge of God, however, is clearly seen by all mankind.
Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools.
There you have it. There's our presentation there. That was this whole documentary, I need to mention to you, was produced by the Living Waters Ministry. And Living Waters Ministry, you can go out to their website and actually watch the documentary that we just played the audio for here today. Their website is www.livingwaters.com. That's livingwaters.com. That's the ministry of Ray Comfort. You heard Ray speaking towards the end of that documentary today. He was the one also asking all the questions. It's a 38-minute documentary presentation that's available absolutely free. They're also doing some, they're raising money right now to be able to give that documentary out on university campuses, and so you can participate in that. I think as you listen to it here today, you can see that there is a tremendous amount of confusion and misinformation that is out there. The bottom line is this, that the point that he's making is that evolution is a belief. You know, most of the time they like to say, no, it's science. That's what differs from religion. It's science. But remember, the definition of science is, the true definition, which is something that we believe in as well, that science needs to be observable and repeatable. That, you know, you can repeat, you can make an observation, and then you can repeat what took place in a laboratory. Well, if these things that they're talking about that they believe in happened millions, or with some of these folks even billions of years ago, then you can see how ridiculous it is to say that it is science. They're talking about something that is a belief. They're talking about their belief in the origins of man, in the origins of life, and they're not able to, they certainly didn't observe that, and it's not repeatable in a laboratory. So their basic belief is that something came from nothing, that they were able to take, something was able to come out of nothing. There was nothing there, and then suddenly there was something. Well, that is, that's ridiculous. That's a logical fallacy. That's a logical absurdity. You can't get something from nothing. We don't believe as Christians in something from nothing. We believe that something came from something, or even better, something came from somebody. Somebody, even God himself, is eternal. He is self-existence, as self-existent. And therefore, we believe in the doctrine of something being created ex nihilo, that God is the only one that can bring something out of nothing. So he speaks, light be, and light was. God is the only one who is powerful enough, supernatural being, to command something to come out of nothing. That's what we believe in. So we don't have faith in the experts. We don't have faith in people that weren't there that are just speculating as to what took place. We have faith in Almighty God, the only one who was actually there, the only one who caused these things to come into existence. Well, I pray that as we listen to this and as this this DVD and this documentary goes out, I pray that God would impact hearts, that what is revealed here in this would change people's lives and they would come to the saving knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to be showing this documentary at our church this upcoming Lord's Day. Remember this, the Lord said, he said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and now also heard on FM 92.9.